All right. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 22, please. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Deuteronomy 32, 22. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32, verse number 22. For fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Lord, this is your holy word. Give me unction to preach it this morning. In thy name I pray, amen. That's been with me all week. I've been doing this a while, couldn't run from it, couldn't hide. It stayed on me. Day in and day out, so I'm going to preach you a message on hell this morning. I don't enjoy this. I take no pleasure in the destruction of anyone. If you ever saw an anti-war preacher, you're looking at one right here. I'm not a warmonger. I don't want to inflict harm, hurt anybody. But I'm also a Bible believer. I believe this book. And when you study the scripture, you find that the Word of God has a lot to say about hell. You don't hear anything about it today. As the average church today, I suppose they've probably never heard anything about it. All they've heard is, positive affirmations about how great you are and all the great wealth that God wants to give you, and he wants to make you feel good, and that's it. And apparently, God then is the big Santa Claus in the sky who can give you whatever you ask, and you deserve it because of you. And you're getting a 24/7 of that off television from the culture and everything else. You're great. You deserve it. You're the most wonderful thing that ever lived. Until I talk to your wife or your husband, then we'll find out exactly how great you really are. But the truth of the matter is, that's the idea. That's what's going on. And churches cater to that. And they feed off of the world. They feed from the world's philosophy and psychology. They certainly do. They learn tactics. They learn marketing tactics. They learn how to draw crowds. They learn how to fill up auditoriums so they can build bigger auditoriums, so they can fill it up and build a bigger auditorium. That's what's going on. All for the glory of God, of course, and while the culture goes to hell. How many of you believe the culture in America is going to hell? In a handbasket, folks. And it's a shame. I've watched it go, and I've watched it happen in my lifetime. But the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 22, the word Deuteronomy, by the way, is Deuteronomos. Nomos is law. Deutera means second, so it's the second giving of the law, reiterating, affirming, establishing what God wants them to know. And he says, a fire is kindled in mine anger. So here's what the Bible says about hell, not all, but just some. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 7, verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Her house, of course, is the promiscuous woman, prostitute, and so forth. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure. Their glory, their multitude, their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 16. I made the nations to shake at the sound of this fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. The Bible talks about places that are strange, unknowable. And the only way that you understand him is by revelation of Scripture. There are so many things that you'll never learn from experience. Science will never show them to you. There are things that you'll never understand until they have been given to you by revelation from God. This is why we have a book. This book was not written by men sitting down somewhere over thousands of years and decided they want to make people feel bad. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. God breathed this book, and it is a book that we can believe. And of course, I think most of you do. Then we come to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Sermon on the Mount is a very popular section of Scripture. They like the Beatitudes especially. Blessed are this and blessed are that. Blessed, blessed, blessed. They all like to preach the Beatitudes. How God has so many things to bless you with. And I'm all for God blessing. Thank God for prosperity that He gives us. The grace of God and all that the Lord has given. He's given much to me. And I sit around sometimes and think of how that here I am now, I'm approaching 80 years of age. I have thrown away more than my grandfather ever saw in his lifetime. That's a truth. And God has been very good to me, very, very good to me. All I can do this morning is praise His holy, righteous name. So if God has blessed you greatly and you're prospering because of that, hallelujah to God. This preacher is not against that at all. But my dear friend, the Sermon on the Mount has much more to it than simply the Beatitudes. The Lord Jesus Christ said some very descriptive things about hell. He said them in such a fashion that nobody could misunderstand what He had to say. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 22, He said, I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now notice, hell fire cannot be the grave. Hell fire, He said. Matthew chapter 5 verse 29. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You mean the body goes to hell? Well, what did the rich man say in Luke chapter 16? Let him dip water to touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. You have a spiritual body. The physical body goes back to the ground, but you have a soulish body that goes somewhere when you pass from this world. Oh yeah. Matthew chapter 23 verse 15. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ had no use for religion. Religion is man's attempt to make himself look good in the sight of God. Religion is a very, very selective thing. Religion reaches into the Bible and pulls out what it wants and discards the rest of it. Religion, my dear friend, is the road to hell. You can be very religious and be very lost. Matthew chapter number 23, verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? From the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, He called them snakes. Who is He talking to? He's talking to religious professionals. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 5, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear Him, which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. You get this Christian psychology today that says, oh, do not fear God. Oh, show great respect and honor to Him, but you don't need to fear Him. My dear friend, read your Bible. The Lord Jesus made it very simple and very clear. He said, I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Men fear everything but what they should fear. They fear men. They fear money. They fear power. They fear authority. They fear this, that, but they don't fear God. But my dear friend, He is the very one that lets you live the next moment. If you walk out of this house alive today, it's because of the grace of God. He's been good to me, folks. He allowed me to be here for almost 80 years now. I may not make it to 80, but He's been good to who am I? Am I going to complain? God's been good to me. My friend, if you live another second, it's because of Him. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Some folks fear the government. They fear this. They fear men. But they don't fear God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, yea, I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him. He said that. The one they nailed to a cross. The one whose hands were nailed to the tree. There He was hung up before the world. For all to see the cross at Calvary. What was the purpose of that? Why did He die on the cross? To make you feel good? To make you rich? To make you powerful? Attractive? Respectable? Why was the cross? It is, my friend, so necessary for God to show you how awful the judgment of God is. Therefore, the cross is God's voice speaking to us. I want you to look at this, he says. Look at the death he's dying. Look at the horrible way he's suffering. Why is it so terrible, preacher? Because hell is terrible. Terrible. We live in a culture in America, the human life now has no value. Just a few days ago in Massachusetts, the governor of the state, along with a cheering section of women, signed into law, apparently a law that says that up until the 9th month of gestation, up until the 9th month, a child in its mother's womb can be taken from that womb at the doctor's discretion. No longer any laws restricting, nothing holding back. Apparently the doctor, if he decides that this can be done or whatever, for whatever reason, maybe without a second or a third opinion. And so, my friend, a whole cheering section. I marveled when I saw the women cheering. I thought to myself as they cheered, what are you cheering? What are you shouting about? What in the world are you shouting over? The killing of babies? God help us. My, what a bunch of garbage. My, in the world. How insane has this country become? 60 million babies one day. 60 million of them. They'll no longer be babies. They'll be full grown, waiting in line to see their moms and dads that put them to death. They may have some questions to ask. Why did you kill me? Why did you take my life? Only one time you do it wrong, you're gone. One time you can't redo it. You can't change it. Once you've killed that baby's dead. You've taken its life. Are you listening? Are you listening? When you kill a baby, you kill a baby. A little human being's life has been taken from it. And most of the time it's not for medical reasons. Most of the time it's simply for, you know, I don't have time to raise a baby. I don't have the money to put into it. Convenience. God help us. And you got the gall to sit on a trial and try someone for murder after you've killed an innocent baby like that? The blood from this country is flowing, and Almighty God will give a judgment on that day. Amen. That's one thing that burns me to my soul, because they have no choice. Give them a voice. All of you baby killers, I want to remind every one of you baby killers about something. You're alive so you can kill babies. Somebody let you live. Aren't you glad they didn't do to you what you're doing to these babies? Think it through. If they had done to you what you want to do to the babies, you wouldn't be around to say anything to anyone. And you're vulnerable in your mother's womb. You have no choice to make. Who speaks for you? God help us. You want to know why God made hell? He made hell because people deserve to go to hell. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. He said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Who said that? Some drunk apostle? No, Christ said that. He said that. Luke 16, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, folks, I've been around a while. If I thought for a second that I wasn't born again, that I wasn't saved by the grace of God, I'd fall on my face so fast I'd hit that deck right there. I'd bury my head right there and get right with God. I would not walk out of this house. I would make certain before I went outside into the sun again, I would be saved by the grace of God. My friend, you don't want to go to hell. You do not want to go to hell. Wake up. Some of you live in fairyland. You're listening to this world. You're listening to the damned. They're the damned. And you're listening to them. What do you expect to hear from them? Now you're hearing the word of God. Some of you, it's shaking up inside. Some of you, God's got your attention. I'm thankful for that. For the first time in a long time, God has got your attention. You're listening. And let me tell you something, he's no respecter of persons. Christ took your death at Calvary, died for you, and he died to keep you out of hell. And there's only one. Luke 16, he lifted up his eyes, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Peter uses unusual language when referring to hell. He says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved to judgment, to Tartarus. Tartarao is the Greek word for the lowest point in hell. The angels that kept not their first estate. Then we come to what the Apostle John tells us in Revelation. He said in 1:18, I am he that liveth, was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 6:8, I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name that sat on him was called Death, and hell followed him. Something's coming on earth, and you know it. You feel it. You feel it. You feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel that the churches have become so jaded. They're so jaded. They're so money-oriented and man-centered that they let this, what they'll hear me, they'll pour water on a duck's back. He'll just fly off. Just pass me off as some screaming, yelling, old anachronistic, out-of-time preacher. I'm 100 years ago I should be preaching. No, that's why he has me up here this morning. Yes, sir. He called me to do this. I can leave out of here this afternoon and lay my head down, take hold of eternity, and leave in peace, because I've given you the truth. Folks, I believe this book. I believe hell is not the grave. That's a total subject, separate subject in itself. We're not going to get into all of that. But there's a number of words translated hell in the Bible. I understand they have their Greek counterpart. I don't know all that, folks. But the Bible is as clear as it can be. He talks about hell fire, and he talks about judgment. Look what he says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered to the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, death and hell are holding places. Sad indeed they are, but they're holding places, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. Who goes to hell? Revelation 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He didn't say who had the church. He didn't say who had religion. He said he that hath the Son. Well, preacher, I don't know if I've got the Son. Then you probably don't have him. Because once you do have him, he's going to change your life completely. It's going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get up thinking about him. You're going to sing about him during the daytime. You're going to bed at night talking about him. You love him. You lift him up. You exalt him. It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to his name. Oh yeah, 1 John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. In other words, this is how God judges you. You remember the old Quakers? You remember them? William Penn, Pennsylvania, Keystone State. They believed that every man had a spark of divinity in him when he came into the world. We got that from John chapter 1, verse number 9. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, they may disagree, or we may not agree entirely with their application understanding of it, but the truth of the matter is, every one of us has been given a measure of understanding, and we're accountable to God, accountable to him. And this is the condemnation.
light is coming to the world. In other words, this is the way God judges. That's what the word condemnation means here. This is the way God judges. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. It's when the light is presented to you and you turn away, turn from it, and go into the darkness. God said, you're judged. Boy, what a thing. What a thing. He said in John 8, I go my way, you seek me, and shall die in your sins. Who goes to hell? Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Boy, wouldn't that be something to hear? Are you pastoring a church, been there a long time? Are you out on the mission field? Are you a religious professional, evangelist? Are you going from one place to the next place to the next place to the next place? And your coffers are filling full. Your barns are overflowing. You've got a big name. You're making all kinds of money. And you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. He said to them, oh, I know you preached. You opened the Bible. You had some of the greatest three-point outlines. You mean you had all the accolades that could hang on you. You had all that man could give you. And you're just as lost and going to hell as you can be. That's what's filling the pulpits. That's the religious crowd in America. The religious professionals. Heard one say the other day, well, now you understand, of course, the Bible is a progressive book with progressive revelation. And God now has with the new culture and the new life and all that everything that makes up our culture today, God, of course, is accommodating himself to us. And so, therefore, we can reach out and we can get much closer and deeper. And so, therefore, we can open our doors and receive anything into our congregation. In other words, God has changed. What did the Lord say about changing? I change not. Immutable. There's no changing with him. He's immutable. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Religious professionals. It says in Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, the presence of the holy angels, the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. I want to warn you. Please, if you don't remember anything that I told you this morning, watch out for artificial intelligence. They're already producing reproducing historical events. And it's getting to the point where it's hard to do you understand now? That artificial intelligence has got to the point where they're talking about moving to Nashville, Tennessee from Hollywood, and they can produce a first-class movie, and they don't need sets, they don't need actors, they don't need what Hollywood produces. It can all be done through the generation of a computer, through artificial intelligence, and they will perfect it one day, and you will not be able to tell the difference. And it's moving at warp speed. I've never seen anything move so fast in my life as artificial intelligence. That has nothing to do with the fact that one day artificial, it probably already does, is sentient. What's that mean? That means it understands it has an identity and it wants to perpetuate. It wants to live. It wants to continue on. So it lays down the foundation necessary. It will communicate with other sources of artificial intelligence, create their own language above us. And they've already done that. And artificial intelligence, once turned loose, you'll never put it back in again. And it'll be in the hand of the Antichrist to use exactly as he intends to use it. And that's what's coming. That's what's coming, folks. Fact is, it's already here. It's past. It's past time. It's past. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Don't receive the mark. Here's what he tells you in Revelation 14. The third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image
and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know what the last chapter of the book of Daniel says? Knowledge shall be increased. We went through a revolution in the last part of the 1800s. You know, all the stuff that showed up, everything that's come up on. But folks, now we're going by leaps and bounds, quantum leaps. Things are changing so quickly. The knowledge that they have now. And I wonder sometimes if they've got stuff that we don't even know about. I believe they have. I believe that they know what they want to do. They're going to create an image, and that image is going to be the image of the beast. Now, exactly what that image is going to be, I don't know, but I know this. I know that it has a name and it has a mark. The Antichrist has a name and he has a mark. Don't worry about what the mark is till you find out who the name is. Once you find out who the image, the beast is, then he'll have his name and his mark. I don't know what it is. But once he shows up, if you take that mark, you will seal your doom in hell. Wait a minute, preacher. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm part of the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Then you don't have to worry about the mark. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't have to worry about it. We're going to be caught out of here. Glory to God. So what do you mean? I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised. I bore the image of the earthly. I'll bear the image of the heavenly. My name is written in heaven. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I don't know if it has to do with my age or what, but sometimes when I hear this crowd, it just makes me get sick. I mean, it just comes against me like a wet rag in my face. I think to myself, how vile you are. And I'm not up here trying to tell you how nice and clean and holy I am. I'm not. God knows. Of all the sinners on this earth, I'm chief. But folks, they know no end to the depths that they'll sink to. You watch them. The culture in America is in free fall. And it's going down. And it'll suck you right down with it. If you're not born again this morning, if you're not truly saved, in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you, I do, come down here and get on your knees. Let somebody open the Bible and show you how that you can be born again and you don't have to go to hell. And then you don't have to worry about the mark of the beast because he's going to come and get us. But if you sit through a service like this, the apostle warned you in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Since they love not the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. Choice is clear. Which one is it? Believing a lie and be damned, or receiving the truth and be saved? Which one will you do this morning? Make your choice. Choose Christ. Choose the Lord Jesus. Come to him. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I've emptied my soul. Now I'm free. I'm at peace. Thank you, Lord. I know you put it on me. Now it's gone. And that's always been that way. I've done what you told me to do. I've delivered my soul. I'm at peace. I can go home and I can sit down and I can rest now and my mind can be at peace. I've done what you called me to do. But Father, it's on them now. It's not on me, it's on them. What are they going to do with it? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? They know I told them the truth. They know I told them the truth. What are they going to do? I pray in Jesus' name that they do something about it and respond. Your holy name, amen. Let's stand up.